Well, good afternoon. I trust this convention has been a rich blessing to us all. While this is a convention of firsts, we've had a lot of first discourses here. It's also the first time I've done a Vesper service. And it's the first time I've ever done a PowerPoint presentation. And so this will be a learning experience for me, and I trust the Lord will bless this hour. Vesper, I looked it up, means evening service. And so we're breaking the rules a little bit because it's still afternoon. But intent this hour is a theme and reading scriptures, quotes, poems, and singing hymns. I have to thank my dear wife, Laurel, because I don't know PowerPoint, and so the PowerPoint effort is hers. And the other thing I need to let you know is the hymns are recorded into the PowerPoint presentation with no intro. So when you hear the music, sing. So as you can see, the subject is Our Father's at the Helm. Our Father's at the helm. When our Father created Adam and Eve, He knew that they would need experience with evil. He allowed evil for a purpose. He was at the helm. This plan has been revealed to us, things which the angels desired to look into. I will be using the Weymouth translation for many of the New Testament scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He made known to us the secret of His will, and this is in harmony with God's merciful purpose for the government of the world when the times are ripe for it, the purpose which He has cherished in His own mind of restoring the whole creation to find its one head in Christ. Yes, things in heaven and things on earth to find their one head in Him. This future restitution of all things in heaven and in earth is not a secret in the Bible. It is taught by all of God's prophets. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Heaven must receive Him until those times of which God has spoken from the earliest ages through the lips of His holy prophet, the times of the reconstitution of all things. Reprint 5535, Time an Important Feature. God's infinite wisdom could not approve any as worthy of everlasting life who would not prove themselves to be in full accord with His divine law. The nature of sin is to propagate itself and to produce misery and degradation. With this knowledge, God arranged in advance to let man have his own way. He foreknew that intelligent beings with liberty of choice and of will would eventually, if untaught and unrestricted, fall into sin, even though a penalty was attached to disobedience. He chose not to restrain Lucifer. The plan of God is so comprehensive that it cannot be viewed or judged from the standpoint of a few years, not even of 1,000 years or 6,000 years. It must be viewed from the standpoint of eternity. It was arranged not for the well-being of the creatures who live for a few years or a few centuries, but for those who would live throughout eternal ages. His plan must, therefore, be laid so broadly as to include all time and all beings created in His likeness, for His glory and their own eternal good. We are not to suppose that Jehovah weeps in anguish because mankind is suffering and dying. He is a God of infinite love and sympathy. But from the beginning He knew that man would fall and that He Himself could overrule the entire matter for the ultimate blessing and instruction of men and angels, all His created intelligences. And He proposed so to do. We ourselves know that sin and death, with all their dire effects, have prevailed in the world for 6,000 years. We also know that our God is at the helm, and that all things will be made to work out good in the end. Beautiful promises from God's Word. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 and 19. What follows this comparison? Through one man sin entered into the world, and through sin death. And so death passed to all mankind in turn, in that all sinned. For as through the disobedience of the one individual, the mass of mankind were constituted sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, the mass of mankind will be constituted righteous. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 15, verse 12. For seeing that death came through man comes also the resurrection of the dead. For just as through Adam all die, so also through Christ all will be made alive again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. It is through that divine will that we have been set free from sin through the offering of Jesus Christ as our sacrifice once for all. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Put away all fear, for I am bringing you good news of great joy, joy for all the people." And we've asked Sister Rosemary to read a poem.
Working. Someday, all doubt and mystery will be made clear. The threatening clouds that now we see will disappear. Someday what seems a punishment or loss or pain will prove to be God's blessing sent from very gain. Someday our weary feet will rest in sweet content, and we shall know that we were blessed by what was sent. And looking back with clearer eyes o'er life's short span, we'll see with wondering glad surprise God's perfect plan. And knowing that the way we went was God's own way, we'll recognize His wise intent someday, someday.
Thank you. Blessings for all. Acts chapter 24, verse 15. And having a hope directed towards God, which my accusers themselves also entertain, that before long there will be a resurrection, both of the righteous and the unrighteous. Job chapter 33, verses 24 and 25. Then he is gracious unto him and saith, "Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth." John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Wonder not at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come forth, they who have done what is right to a resurrection of life, and they whose actions have been evil to a resurrection of judgment. We have given our lives to Christ to serve him in righteousness during this current time of sin and immorality. This is a very difficult walk in life. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, to present all your faculties to Him as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to Him. This with you will be an act of reasonable worship. And do not follow the customs of the present age, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your minds, so that you may learn by experience what God's will is, that will which is good and beautiful and perfect. For through the authority graciously given to me, I warn every individual among you not to value himself unduly, but to cultivate sobriety of judgment in accordance with the amount of faith which God has allotted to each. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, beneath the mighty hand of God, so that at the right time he may set you on high. Throw the whole of your anxiety upon Him, because He Himself cares for you. He knows the number of our hairs. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now we'd like to have two poems read by Sister Judy Garrison.
Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Matthew 6:8. Our Father knows what things we need each step along the way. His eye of love doth never sleep. He watches night and day. He knows sometimes, like ripening grain, we need the sunshine bright. Again, He sends the peace that comes with shadows of the night. Sometimes our pride would fain unfurl ambition's flaunting sail. Ah, then He knows we need to walk humiliation's veil. Sometimes He takes our eager hands and folds them on our breast. He gently lays our work aside. He knows we need to rest. Sometimes we need companionship, sometimes the wilderness. How sweet to feel He'll know and give the state that most will bless. Then let us leave it all with Him, assured that come what may, our Father knows just what we need upon our pilgrim way. He knows. He knows the way I take. What matter then if dark it be, or rough, or hedged about? His staff shall comfort me. And should His love withhold what seems so near, so dear, so sweet, I'll humbly take this thing and lay it at His feet. How sweet to know He knows and cares and holds me by the hand, will safely guide until I reach the heavenly land.
Thank you. Now we'll sing hymn number 110, He Knows.
Thank you.
helps us in times of trouble. Psalm chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, excuse me. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27 from the Leser. Thy refuge is the eternal God, and here beneath the everlasting arms. And he thrust out the enemy from before thee, and he said, destroy. So with our own experiences, he is always at the helm. Trust in him. He commands the seas. Peace, be still. Volume 6, page 655. When once we recognize the fact that God is at the helm, directing the affairs of the new creation in every particular, not only in their call, but also in the difficulties, trials, and persecutions necessary to their polishing and preparation for the kingdom, it lessens our appreciation of the part played in this divine plan by human institutions, which the Lord never organized nor authorized to be organized, but which, in harmony with the Lord's suggestion, we know to be carnal, fleshly, contrary to the Spirit. Now we have a poem to be read by Sister Janet Jensen.
Our Father's at the helm. The boisterous waves with awful roar a little boat assailed, and pallid fear's distracting power over all the boat, over all on board prevailed, save one, the captain's darling child, who steadfast viewed the storm, and cheerful with composure smiled at danger's threatening form. Do you feel safe? A seaman cried, while terrors overwhelm. Why should I fear? The boy replied, my father's at the helm. When our worldly all is reft, our earthly helper's gone, we still have one true anchor left, God helps, and he alone. He to our prayers will bend an ear, he gives our pains relief. He turns to smiles each trembling tear, to joy each torturing grief. Turn to him mid sorrows wild, when want and woes overwhelm. Remembering like the fearless child, our Father's at the helm.
I hear the
we dwell under His wings of protection. Like a mother hen, our God has the best, softest feathers to protect the new creature. The closer we dwell, the more the warmth and the protection provided, even in times of trial. If we dwell close to Him, we have His everlasting arms of protection. Psalm chapter 61, verse 1 to 5. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter to me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings, Selah. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear or reverence Thy name. Now we have two poems to be read by Brother Robert Long.
Thus may He bless and keep thee. Numbers 6:24. The Lord bless thee, how shall He bless thee? With the gladness that knoweth no decay, with the riches that cannot pass away, with the sunshine that makes an endless day, thus may He bless thee and keep thee. How shall He keep thee? With the all-covering shadow of His wings, with the strong love that guards from evil things, with the sure power that safe to glory brings, thus may He keep thee. Trust Him more. Since the Father's arm sustains thee, peaceful be. When a chastening hand restrains thee, it is He. Know His love in full completeness fills the measure of thy weakness. If He wounds thy spirit sore, trust Him more. Without measure, uncomplaining, in His hand, lay whatever things thou canst not understand. Though the world thy folly spurneth, from the faith in pity turneth, peace thine inmost soul shall fill, peace thine inmost soul shall fill, lying still. Like an infant, if thou thinkest thou canst stand, childlike, proudly pushing back the proffered hand, courage soon is changed to fear, strength doth feebleness appear. In His love, if thou abide, He will guide. Therefore, whatsoever betideth, night or day, know His love for thee provideth good alway. Crown of sorrow gladly take, grateful wear it for His sake, sweetly bending to His will, lying still. To His own the Savior giveth daily strength, to each troubled soul that striveth peace at length. Weakest lamb have largest share of His tender shepherd's care. Ask Him not then when or how, only bow.
Hymn 120, Under His Wings.
Thank you.
have a couple of reprints to be read by Sister Kristen Kirkham.
Everything is under our Lord's control or allowed for a purpose. He knows the end from the beginning. Do not be concerned with global warming. Reprint 734. The climate will probably gradually undergo a change also, such as will not only be favorable to man's comfort, but favorable as well to the usefulness of large tracts of country at present almost or quite uninhabitable. How this will be accomplished, we cannot at present say. But of one thing we are satisfied. He who is at the helm and has thus far ordered matters is abundantly able to furnish mankind a fit and perfect home, an Eden, when the curse is removed. Of another thing we are satisfied, namely, that what scientists term the laws of nature are by no means as regular and fixed as they seemed at one time to imagine. As an illustration of this, we note the fact that the telegraph brought word of severe cold and thousands of cattle destroyed in Texas while we at the north were having quite moderate weather. And we have known times in summer when the thermometer rose higher in Pittsburgh than in New Orleans. These things, in addition to our trust in the omnipotent, set at rest fears in regard to climate. Man is arrogant in thinking he changes the climate. Reprint 1254. God, who alone knows the outcome as well as the process of his plans, reveals the fact that the millennial blessings will not come in peaceably as they might do if love controlled mankind. Men, believing that they are bringing about the change of dispensation, rejecting God at the helm of affairs, and seeking to gain by force the blessings longed for, must learn their mistake before they are ushered into the blessings. To bless their methods would be to confirm them in their error and to make them arrogant and proud. To enter the millennium thus would be to their disadvantage. Accordingly, their own efforts are, under God's supervision, to teach men humility and their own utter inability to establish justice and peace in the world. Accordingly, from the scriptures we read the future thus: as inventions increase, men will become more and more vain and boastful as to what human power and ingenuity can accomplish. They will more and more lose sight of God and his provisions and supervisions. Nature will become the god of science and of the masses, and to nature's laws, not God's, they will bow. But nature will deceive them. Most unusual and unnatural changes will occur. The laws of nature, which they thought fixed, will be found unsettled and unreliable. For God, knowing the necessities of the time, has arranged that great convulsions and changes of nature's operations necessary for the betterment of the earth for man in the time of blessing about to begin shall occur at this time to humble the pride of men and to teach them their dependence upon nature's God.
Thank you. Isn't that interesting? Now we'd like to have a poem read by Sister Karen Long.
In everything, give thanks. We thank thee, Lord, for raiment, and we thank thee for our food. We thank thee for our shelter, O thou giver of all good. We thank thee for the day on which our eyes first saw the light. We give thee thanks for every sense, for hearing and for sight. We thank thee for the sunshine, and we thank thee for the rain. We thank thee for the pleasure, and we thank thee for the pain. We thank thee for the friends we've won, and for the friends we've lost. We thank thee for the heartaches which these separations cost. We thank thee for the tender love which makes us clearly see that every severed heartstring hath but drawn us nearer thee. We thank thee for forgiveness when we fall in word or deed. We praise thee for sufficient grace in every time of need. We thank thee, blessed Father, for the gift of thy dear Son. We thank thee and we praise thee for the victory he won. We thank thee for his righteousness, his robe so pure and white. We praise thee that, when clothed in it, we're blameless in thy sight. We thank thee, we praise thee for thy good and precious word. We bless thee for the wondrous faith its promises have stirred. We thank thee for the glorious hope of immortality. Our hearts are longing, Lord, with thee to dwell eternally. We thank thee for that servant, for the love of each dear saint. We bless thee for their fellowship when heart and strength grow faint. And thus we give thee thanks, dear Lord, for each and everything, and pray that thou wilt keep us safe beneath thy sheltering wing.
He is a shield for his people. Psalm chapter 28, verses 7 and 8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My trust in him. I cannot always see the way that leads to heights above, and sometimes quite forget he leads me on with hands of love. But yet I realize the path must lead me to Emmanuel's land, and when I reach life's summit, I shall know and understand. I cannot always trace the onward course my bark must take, but looking backward, I behold afar its shining wake. Illumined with God's light of love, and so I onward go, in perfect trust that he who holds the helm, the course must know. I cannot always see the plan on which he builds my life, for oft the sound of hammer, blow on blow, the noise of strife, confuses me, till I quite forget he knows and oversees, and that all the details with his great plan my life agrees. I cannot always understand the master's rule. I cannot always do the tasks he gives in life's hard school. But I am learning with his help to solve them one by one. And when I cannot understand, to say, thy will be done. Now we'd like to sing a hymn, Simply Trusting Every Day.
Trusting as the moments fly,
next we have some reading of for the cloud of witnesses, basically. And the brethren that have gone before us, and examples of the ancient worthies. And we've asked Brother Jim to read these.
Daniel in the Lion's Den, reprint 46:28. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, Isaiah 58:11. Dare to be a Daniel. If in the Father's providence some of the circumstances connected with our earthly affairs turn in this or that direction, our hearts should look to the Lord for the lesson to be drawn thereon, and thus be able to glorify God thereby. The Christian should never view any experience as being lucky or unlucky, but should remember that all things connected with him, if he be living close to the Lord, are ordered and directed by the Lord. Reprint 46:28. David and Goliath, reprint 42:19. The Lord is a sun and a shield. Psalm 84:11. Our text is a great encouragement to the David class, the beloved class, the anointed ones, the members of Christ. To those, the Lord God is both a sun and a shield. He not only enlightens these, but he will not suffer them to be injured by the blessings which he bestows upon them. He will shield them from all enemies and from everything that would tend to injure them in any manner. All things shall work together for good to those who love him, to the called ones, according to his purpose. With such blessed assurances, then, we may look forward to the future with rejoicing and with confidence, trusting to have a share in the glorious reward God has promised to the faithful. Reprint 42:19. Samson slaying the lion. Reprint 30:80. A young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. Judges 14:5-6. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:9. To battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil requires more strength than we possess. We need the courage coming to us from this divine assurance given to Joshua. Reprint 30:80.
Thank you. And next we have a poem to be read from the reprints by Sister Ellen Roberts.
Within the veil, homesick for heaven and longing for its rest, and does the way seem long that leads thee there? Lift up thine eyes, the veil is growing thin that separates us from its glories rare. But yesterday a dear one passed beyond within the veil and entered into rest. And as she passed, we caught a radiant glimpse, as when effulgent glory shineth in the west. Another link is added to the chain of precious gold that draws us surely home. Another strand is twined with the cord of love that holds us, that we may not roam. Yes, one by one his saints are passing o'er, his loved from shadows into heaven's pure light, into the joy of his dear presence, where they feel no more the darkness of earth's night. But sweeter, grander still, within the veil, that almost grows transparent to our gaze, we see our Master, our beloved Lord, and lift to him our rapturous songs of praise. So near we are, we almost catch the strains of heavenly music from celestial choirs. Can we not bide with patience one more hour? We've almost reached the goal of our desires. Then let us not go mourning on our way, but let our hearts be light, our faces glad. These pressing burdens we shall soon lay down, forevermore
Why then should we be sad? A cloud of witnesses behold our course with interest intense, and shall we fail? Our race is almost run. Lord, nerve our hearts and scatter every doubt that doth assail. So clarify our clouded vision, Lord. So lift our thoughts and hearts to things above, that earthly woes shall have no power to vex, nor separate us from thy grace and love. While still we toss on life's tempestuous seas, shield from the rocks of tiny barks so frail, stand at the helm and guide us safely till we too are anchored safe within the veil.
Thank you. If we are given lemons in life, make lemonade. Our lives are what we make them. Our lives are songs. God writes the words, and we set them to music at pleasure. And the song grows glad or sweet or sad as we choose to fashion the measure. We must write the music, whatever the song, whatever its rhyme or meter. And if it is sad, we can make it glad. Or if sweet, we can make it sweeter. Reprint 5807. Preciousness of intimate fellowship with God. It is when continued trust in the Lord and His many responsive providences in our lives have ripened into precious personal acquaintance and intimacy. Let's try that again. Intimacy. That we learn to delight in Him. Yes, it is the heart answers to the heart. It is when the heart answers to the heart. When pleading prayer brings recognized answers of peace. When the divine love and care has been clearly seen in the guidance of our way. That we can recognize the abiding presence with us of our Father and the Son. Then, however dark may be our way, however severe may be the storm that rages about us, the thought of divine protection is ever with us. So that as the children of the Lord, we are never in despair. Though cast down, we are not destroyed. Though persecuted, we are never forsaken. We know our Father's hand is ever at the helm. That His love and care are sure and unfailing. Those who have come into real heart sympathy with God have learned to see Him as the fountain of all goodness and truth and blessing. To them, He is the one altogether lovely. His law is their delight. His friendship and love are their very life. When the heart has become thus centered in God, it is the most natural impulse to commit it its way unto Him. We'd like to close with hymn number 357. This is Appendix X, Lamp of My Feet. Actually, I think there was another poem that got inserted. Is that correct? I think there might be. Let's check. Ah, there is. My flesh and my heart is, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm chapter 73, verse 26. In seasons of heavy trial, the darkness may indeed so deep upon the soul, as in our dear Lord's case, as almost to shut out the stars of hope. Yet if, like the Lord, we hold on to the omnipotent arm of Jehovah and meekly say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, His grace will always be sufficient. And with the psalmist we can say, though my flesh and my heart fail, yet God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And with the Lord our hearts will respond, thy cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now the hymn.
Thank you.
bless.